It's all happening.
Uh-oh.
It's all happening.
It's happening.
It's all happening.
It's the movie The Happening. M. Night Shyamalan.
It's all happening. It's all happening.
It's all happening.
It's all happening. It's all happening.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
It's
gonna
be the whole show, 60 minutes of this. It's gonna be it. It's gonna be it today. Just nothing but no analysis, no nope. Actual discussion of Brendan Rodgers. We're just gonna yell "It's all happening" for the next hour in your ears, in your ear canals. Sound good, everyone? Another award contending edition of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. Hello. Hi.
Another award recognizing tradition.
Another award same world inhabiting edition of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. Hello. Hi, everyone.
It's an award tradition.
Yeah, some
us
like
getting awards.
Us having never been nominated for an award. I don't think.
I mean, not to our knowledge.
Can you count the Rockies Twitter turned? Hi, it's the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. I'm Tyler Munn.
And I'm Anthony Masterson. Sorry. And, yes, hi.
And it's a day where there's some news. We're recording this
right
on the 16th of May in the year of Brendan Rodgers 2019. And that is the news as of today, this morning. I actually was struck with much paranoia because I looked on the Dateline. This is episode number 166, by the way, of this podcast. I looked on the Dateline of Thomas Harding's story on MLB.com, and it was 3:07 a.m. Eastern time, which would be 1:07 a.m. Mountain time. My shifts for MLB.com go until 1 a.m., and I got very paranoid. Or no, wait, no, I misspoke. Our story at MILB.com was at 3:07 Eastern time.
Okay.
And Thomas Harding had tweeted out that Brendan Rodgers was likely going to be called up to the major leagues on Friday, attributing that to a major league source. And his tweet came at exactly 12:43 a.m. So I missed it. My bosses, I guess, didn't see it. But I was so paranoid this morning that I like just missed a whole bunch of messages from my bosses that were like, hey, can you write up this story? And I didn't. And but I thank God I did not. I did not actually do that.
Yikes.
I didn't miss anything. Whew. Sheesh. Could have gotten fired. But there, it's just a way for me to make this about me.
Yeah. What's new there? Yeah.
What did you just say?
I said, what's new there? You love making everything about you.
That's woo nair. Shut up. So, top Rockies prospect Brendan Rodgers is reportedly coming to the major leagues. Oh, Lord, he coming. According to Thomas Harding of MLB.com, last night at 12:43 a.m. Mountain Time, Brendan Rodgers...
and not 3:07 Eastern Time.
Not 3:07 Eastern Time. That was the MILB.com story by one Darren Smith. What is happening? Is Zoe's knocking stuff over? What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
yeah. She'll be fine.
The major league source that Thomas Harding cited told him that Brendan Rodgers will be called up for Friday night's first game of three at Philly. Rockies did not make a comment on the move. They have not announced the move. But Brendan Rodgers has been crushing everything at AAA, and it appears as though he is coming up to the major leagues with a whole bunch of different avenues to get him some regular playing time.
There's a whole lot
to unpack here, but
there's
first,
a lot to unpack here.
Just your initial reaction to this.
Well, I'm not sure who exactly monkey pod. Oh, I want to see Brendan Rodgers in the show and then have an injury happen to make
that
happen.
Right.
We thought this could have been coming a couple of days ago when they sent down Garrett Hampson.
Yeah.
We thought a move was coming. I think we all assumed it was going to be Pat Valinka.
There was a move coming. It was just Pat Valinka again.
I really do think that we assumed it was going to be Pat Valinka because that's how this works, unfortunately. And it was Pat Valinka. But then, I don't know. It's great to see, and hopefully he gets a chance to actually play, but you don't want it to be at the expense of a guy like Trevor Story, because we'll get to that in a second, what happened with maybe an injury or what have you. But he's a guy you need to be excited about. I mean, he's a consensus top 30 prospects in the big leagues. MLB.com at number 10. Yeah, they were the most bullish. They had him at number 10, B-Pro at number 22, Baseball America at number 14. So his path to the big leagues has not exactly been the most linear. I mean, we've kind of wondered what exactly Brendan Rodgers' ceiling was or what his floor was, and everybody seems to have a different opinion of it. But the fact that he went to AAA last year and really kind of struggled in 19 games at 232 with a 550 OPS, no homers.
And he was banged up toward the end of
the
season,
exactly.
Which has become a theme with him.
And he's only 22 years old. He is a literal child. He'll be 23 in August. So, but then to come back this year and start the season in 35 games, I know in a very offensive-friendly ballpark, in an offensive-friendly league, with offensive-friendly baseballs
they're playing with golf balls now at AAA.
Yeah. He still hit 356 with 9 homers, 21 ribbies, and an OPS over 1,000 in 35 games at 10 doubles as well. He walked nearly as much as he struck out, 25 strikeouts, 14 walks, which is better a ratio than we have seen with him recently, so that helps. But no, there's no reason not to be excited about this. He is going to be one of the best prospects in the game, and he's going to be a contributor for a team that really is kind of stuck in neutral right now.
Yeah, there's the one thing that makes you take pause with this is the fact that it does come because of an injury. And Trevor Story evidently avoided serious injury with the outfield collision yesterday with Raimel Tapia, a three-man conversion on a ball down the left field line. But it's a bone bruise right now, and that's what has necessitated this move for the Rockies to call up Brendan Rodgers. It also kind of seems to me a little curious that if you were going to be ready to call up Brendan Rodgers today with an injury, why didn't you just call him up on Monday? You know what I mean? Like,
did the Super 2 deadline hit between Monday and Thursday?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's not, you haven't saved yourself. And we should unpack and explain that. So the reason, and we talked about this on Twitter on Monday, the likeliest explanation for why the Rockies were calling up Pat Valaika and not calling up Brendan Rodgers as of Monday was the Super 2 deadline, and it is an extremely complex issue
and stupid most of the time
to explain, but basically players become eligible in large part for arbitration after their third year of major league service time, but there is a select group of guys that become eligible after their second year of major league service time. Those are called Super 2 players. If they are in the top, I think it's 22% of service time guys with more than 2 years of major league service time and less than 3 years, then they become arbitration eligible after those 2 years, basically.
Got that?
Yeah. Makes sense? Easy to understand
easy
for everybody?
Got it. Cool.
So major league teams for the last several years now have been trying to manipulate players into being in the lower 78% of that so they don't lose that extra year of team control.
Chris Bryant, the most notable, I believe,
Chris Bryant was actually more about getting an extra year from him before he hit free agency than it was with the Super 2 thing, because he actually came up, I think, in early May. But it pushed back his free agency year for another season. But, you know, we've seen this with guys. Carlos Correa was one of them who stayed down for a little while. I think Francisco Lindor was one of them. So there have been some guys in past seasons that you think, like, okay, well, now all of a sudden he's just ready to go because it's mid-June.
Had to work on his defense.
Right.
And then I think it's a always defensible position from an owner's perspective to do this.
Yeah.
You can't be like, you can't send a guy down. It's like, oh, he needs to work on his defense. And that's such a nebulous concept that you have to be like, oh, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you are.
Yeah. It's like nobody can actually say, no, I don't see him working on his defense at all.
It's like when somebody gets like hurt in a soccer game and you're like, oh, well, you know, okay, maybe he is actually hurt, you know, but he comes up, bounces up 3 seconds later, and he's, you know, scoring the game-winning goal.
They spray that ice spray on
them. They spray the magical spray on them. Yeah, that's just cocaine. Yeah.
That's my favorite thing about broadcasting international baseball, is especially teams that come from soccer-heavy countries, they do that with baseball players. And I'm like, whoa, we don't get to see this at home. This is cool. It's like a guy gets hurt from, like, the Czech Republic, and they bring out the spray. Like, oh, this is amazing. That guy's going to be Superman now. But yeah, so Brendan Rodgers goes down to start the season at AAA and started not slowly, but didn't really break out until the end of April. On April 23rd, after play on April 22nd, they had an off day on the 23rd, or at least he had an off day on the 23rd. Brendan Rodgers was a 250, 347, 438 hitter. That's a 784 OPS, 250 average. He's, you know, a 22-year-old in AAA. That's okay. That's fine. Since then, Brendan Rodgers, from April 24th through the end of play on the 14th, Brendan Rodgers has batted 451, 494, 831 with Whoa. 6 homers and 15 RBIs.
Talk about Fahrenheit 451. That guy's hotter than a book burning.
Oh, my God. Oh, wowzers. and that'll do it for this week's episode.
Yeah, it's going to be all downhill from there.
yeah, he's been really good is what we're saying. Rodgers, one of the reasons why Brendan Rodgers did not get the call on Monday is because on Saturday night he was hit in the back of the head by a pitch on the 11th of May.
That's Zoe in the background. She's scratching.
Hi, Zoe. Yeah. Like, is over here too, but she's laying and pouting and being mad at me because I haven't taken her out yet.
Hey, say that's what Zoe's doing.
you and I were talking before we started recording. Like, I have a house with a backyard now and a patio, and Laika is gradually figuring out that like belongs to her. Like, I basically bought a house so she would have a yard. But she also, like, that's not good enough when she wants to go out in the morning. Like, I'll let her out and she'll go out and go pee and then have breakfast. But then it's like, if I just want to go out there and chill, she's mostly at my feet whining until we go out for a WALK.
Yep. Same here. But Nicole just left. And so
Zoe's
now
it's all on you.
So
he's
out by the gate
now,
like, watching her leave. Yeah.
I mean, the reason being likely Super 2, and then secondarily, well, the dude just got hit in the head by a pitch on Saturday. That proved to be apparently nothing at all. Brendan Rodgers got hit in the head on the 11th of May. He came back on the 13th of May, went 4-for-5 with 2 homers for Albuquerque at Fresno. Had 2 hits in Tuesday's series finale against the Fresno Grizzlies, and he looks as ready to go as possible. What is a caveat is offensive numbers in AAA this season, like we talked about, you kind of have to take with a grain of salt. But something that I think it's really important to keep in mind is player development. People don't look at numbers anyway. Like Zach Wilson and Chris Forbes and those guys on the player development side for the Rockies, that's not what they're not looking at Brendan Rodgers' line and thinking like, oh, well, you know, he's hitting 450 over his last 20 games or whatever it is. Like, he's obviously ready. Those guys don't evaluate based on that. They evaluate based on a whole lot of other stuff, the reports they get from their coaching staffs, and I would think they've probably been there in person to watch Brendan Rodgers as of late. They have to evaluate what a guy looks like and how he's making contact with the ball and his, you know, defensive work and all that kind of stuff. It's not just enough to go off of the numbers. So I think for all of us as fans, we look at the numbers and think like, oh, well, it's so obvious. This
guy's why wouldn't he be here already?
Since the end of April. Yeah, that's not what they're looking for, and that's understandable. But Brendan Rodgers, there was not much else that he could do at AAA to prove that he was ready. Now the question will be, what does this promotion look like? Trevor Story presumably is going to at least sit for a couple of days to rest.
He said that he just a bruise, that he dodged a lot of injury,
thankfully,
what it sounded like. Yeah.
Which is really good. But you know what else is going to be really interesting is the fact that the Rockies are calling up Brendan Rodgers, and he is going to play. I mean, presumably he's going to be playing short. And that's a position where he has not been, you know, out of regularity. Like, he's played there some this season.
6
that's
games
his natural
this year.
Position.
Yeah.
But he's mostly been a second baseman.
Yeah.
So he's not going to have any trouble readjusting to short. I don't even know if it's readjusting. It's a position that he's played his entire life. But it is kind of interesting that you're calling up a guy, presumably he's going to play shortstop primarily, and he's barely played there this year.
Well, and it's also time, because it is May 16th. The Rockies are 2 games under 500. And the 2 guys that you thought were going to be vying for playing time at second base this year in Garrett Hampson and Ryan McMahon, 2 guys that had absolutely earned their shot initially, have not really wrenched the playing time away from one another. Hampson is already back down in AAA. McMahon has been slow to get to the potential we thought he would be this year. He's had some flashes, but he has not really been putting up the numbers that we expected him to, or that we thought he would right or coming out of spring training. So it's time for somebody else to get a shot. And if it's Brendan Rodgers' time to get that opportunity, then he should. But that's also the thing. Is he going to be playing every day if Trevor Story's healthy? I mean, do you put him at second base, yeah, and say, all right, and then Ryan McMahon's now in a bench role? It's, you know, there's a lot of things that Bud Black has to do right now to figure out what we're going to do going forward. Obviously, the health of Trevor Story is first and foremost in all of this. And if he's fine, he's going to play. But that's the question you have to say, because this is a guy you don't want to call up and then have him start 2 to 3 days a week. You know, this is a guy you want to have, yeah, come up and start every single day.
Yeah. And it's exciting, and it's a good problem to have for the Rockies, that they have all these infield guys that you're excited about. And obviously we've seen Garrett Hampson, we've seen Ryan McMahon this year, like you said, not really, you know, bust out and seize their opportunity just as of yet. But all that being said, I still have really high hopes for both of those guys. And the fact that you have three infield prospects that you're supremely excited about, you've got the best third baseman in baseball locked up long term. You've got one of the best shortstops in baseball who will be with you for at least the next couple of years, and maybe the Rockies will be able to lock down long term. And then you've got all these other guys who right now, you've got three potentially top five, if they still had prospect status, at least like in Ryan McMahon and Garrett Hampson's case, they would all be top five prospects in your organization. They're all vying, right, for one job at second base.
Yeah. And Hampson struggled, and we've talked at length about Hampson. I still think he's going to be fine. I think, you know, doing this at the big league level and struggling the way that he did sometimes is necessary for a prospect. I still think he's got every single tool you need to be a solid big leaguer. Do I think he's an all-star? No, but I think he is a great contributor to a Major League Baseball team, and he will get there eventually. Ryan McMahon, you know, he's shown versatility. He's shown that he has some pop. He's actually hit lefties pretty damn well in his career.
Yeah, you tweeted that out yesterday. That actually really kind of surprised me. Not that the numbers were good, but that the numbers were that good.
So, yeah, so in his career, in the last 2 years, since, you know, he's gotten somewhat consistent playing time when he's been in the big leagues, the last 2 years against lefties, 328, 411, 516 for a 927 OPS, that in 64 at-bats against lefties. Against righties in that time in 216 at-bats, 208, 289, 329 for a 618 OPS.
Crazy.
Right?
Crazy.
And we were told all coming up through that Ryan McMahon couldn't hit lefties. He's a platoon kind of guy. We're like, okay, whatever. You know, you never know in the minor leagues. But then the last 2 years, I mean, showing up against left-handed pitching, which is, I mean, you wouldn't put him at like a reverse platoon, obviously. But like even this year against lefties, 344, 382, 500, 882 OPS. Righties, 194, 316, 299.
But sometimes baseball makes you scratch your head.
Exactly. And, you know, he's shown some flashes. Like, he has 3 home runs, 14 driven in. He's walked 14 times in 30 games. That's good. You know, 30 strikeouts in 30 games. That's not exactly what you want, but, you know, he hits the ball hard. Usually when he hits it, he's, you know, the exit velocity is one of the higher on the Rockies roster, 93 miles an hour on average. So, I don't know. It's too bad for him, because he probably is going to see a dip in playing time if Rodgers is here to stay.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I can fill in at first, can fill in at second, can fill in at third, you know. So,
yeah,
they'll probably try to get his bat in the lineup if they can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's kind of interesting about this call up at this moment for Brendan Rodgers, is it seems like Brendan Rodgers at this stage, the route for him to be a regular major leaguer is, all right, you got to win this second base job, but he's being called up to play short. That's kind of the strange thing about this. But I don't think the Rockies make this decision to call up Brendan Rodgers unless they are positive they can get him into the lineup every single day.
Right. Right. I mean, that's the thing. I don't think they would call him up here just to sit him.
They wouldn't waste that
in case Trevor's hurt, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
They wouldn't waste that transaction with him. So it's exciting. I mean, calling him up is exciting. It's a bummer reason, the fact that Trevor Story suffered the knee bruise, but it's exciting that this is finally here. I can't really think of a prospect promotion that came with this much hype and this much promise. Like, even Trevor Story,
well, when he made the opening day roster, wasn't exactly a hot prospect at that time.
The shine had kind of worn off of Trevor Story by that point, which is so funny to look back on now and think like, oh yeah, we didn't think Trevor Story was really going to be that great.
Because he repeated three or four levels coming up, because he really struggled initially and then came up and crushed it and then got called up and then whatever, you know.
And then turned himself into Trevor Story, and that's pretty cool. But even like when Nolan made the opening day roster, like Nolan didn't even make the opening day roster. He came up in late April.
Yeah.
And Nolan was like, he was a prospect, but it wasn't, and there was no way that people thought Nolan Arenado was going to be this.
Well, remember, because his defense was an issue.
Which is so funny to think about. So funny to think about. Like, people thought Nolan Arenado was like, oh, well, he's a nice player.
Oh, yeah, a bat-first prospect.
He'll hit. Maybe at some point he'll actually play some defense as well. Yeah.
I mean,
sort of hilarious to think about.
Swing and a miss.
Prospect evaluation is not easy. I think that's the thing that you really take away from it. It is not a real easy thing to try to figure out. The Rockies have some very good problems in the fact that they have really, really talented guys who are all going to be vying for one spot. This is so far back in our prospect rankings on MLB.com that they don't even have. Nowadays, we have each of the grades for the tools of each prospect.
Right.
We didn't even have that then, apparently, back in 2012. Let's see if it has anything. There was concern about his defense at third, but he's worked to improve, and those worries are gone.
He's definitely improved it a little bit, winning six straight Gold Gloves to begin his career.
Let's see what 2011 said. Nolan was the fourth-ranked prospect in 2011 behind, get this crowd, Willene Rosario, Drew Pomeranz, and Christian Friedrich.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a strong arm at third, though his lack of speed leaves his defensive future a little bit cloudy.
Lack of speed?
His bat will find a way
speed
in the
to play third
somewhere.
Base?
Right? Yeah, who needs that? Wow, that is amazing. 2011 was the first year of the MLB pipeline ranking.
That great speedster, Adrian Beltre.
Everybody thinks about the speed of old Michael Jack Schmidt. this is cool. It's fun. It's exciting. I'm excited to see Brendan Rodgers out there. I'm excited the fact that he gets to do it in Philly. So maybe he can hit like four home runs for the weekend in that joke of a ballpark.
And then bow at Bryce Harper. Your favorite player.
My favorite. We'll talk about the series coming up here in a little bit, but Bryce Harper's been real bad lately.
Since that five-hit game at Coors, he's hitting like 160, 150,
terrible.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange. But let's talk about this Boston series first, and then we'll rail about Bryce Harper. What in the hell was that? They struck out 24 times on Tuesday and won. I don't know if anybody's mentioned that, but they struck out quite a bit.
They struck out a lot anyway. But, they struck out 24 times and won, which is one of the most strikeouts ever in a game for a team that actually won. It was the second time they struck out 24 game times in a game this year. They did an 18 inning slog in San Francisco when they lost 3-2.
And that only happened nine times in Major League history.
And the team is now 3-6 who strikes out that many times.
And the Rockies have done it twice in the last month.
Yes. Which is great. That's good. And they struck out 21 times in 9 innings, and right, it was 21 times in 9 innings to set a major league record for most strikeouts in nine innings. The game went extra innings, so they didn't get the record there. They struck out 17 times in 7 innings, which is also a major league record. Chris Sale did that all on his own. Chris Sale is very good.
Quite good. I liked him better when he was bad at the beginning of the year.
He's definitely not bad now, though.
He is quite good.
So they set a lot of weird records that game, and Sale was like just mowing him down and mowing him down and mowing him down. And then Kyle Freeland gave up 3 home runs early, and you're like, well, here's, this is going to be a lost cause of a game. And then, you know, Kyle Freeland stuck around through six, only gave up those three runs on those three solo home runs, struck out seven. When it was funny, when Freeland left the game, he had more swings and misses than Chris Sale did through six innings.
What?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. That game made no sense.
No.
Like, you say things about that, like that about that game, and it's like, oh, okay, well, yeah, because yeah, it was sure, that yeah. game, sure.
And then in the seventh inning, Nolan, it's a two-run homer, and you're, or sixth inning? So whatever. Nolan, it's a two-run homer, and you're like, oh, okay, well, it's 3-2, but like, you know, the way Sale's pitching, like, no chance. And then, you know, two innings later, Sale's out of the game. Charlie Blackmon hits a like 440-foot bomb like through the rain,
murdered
and,
that thing.
Through the rain and like 40 degree weather in Boston, like to dead center over that big wall, like five rows back.
It was a real fucking wicked shot.
It was, and I don't know. I mean, it was a hanging curveball, but man, that was a poke. Then the Rockies gave it back. And then went to 11, and then on an 0-2 pitch, after the first two batters for the Rockies had walked the entire game, they went to the 11th inning with zero walks and 24 strikeouts
and no walks.
And then got two walks in that inning, and then on an 0-2 pitch, Mark Reynolds lined a ball into left center, and they won the game.
Walks will haunt .jpg.
Yeah.
Mark Reynolds, who I tweeted out, this is the weirdest tweet of ours to have blown up as of late. It has like 400 faves now.
So, yeah.
But I tweeted out, some jagoff in Boston yelled at Mark Reynolds, "Go back to Philly, you bum." Mark Reynolds is neither from Philly nor has ever played for the Phillies. So
it doesn't make any sense. Like, sure. But okay, sure.
But Mark Reynolds comes through and they win that game. And we tweeted out on Tuesday, they posted a lineup and, you know, it was a wave a white flag kind of lineup. I don't really have a huge problem with that going against Chris Sale. Like, more likely than not, you can run your best lineup out there against Chris Sale and you're still going to strike out 13 times over seven innings. So they ran a bad lineup out there and struck out 17 times. But you kind of hope, like, all right, maybe we catch lightning in a bottle somehow in this game, and then we can play for a sweep on Wednesday. But if not, we'll save all of our bullets and go for the win on Wednesday and try to get a split on the road. They won that game on Tuesday, and then you had the opportunity yesterday taking a game to extra innings to sweep a quick two-game series in Boston, and they didn't. But like you said after yesterday's game, a sweep in Boston or a split in Boston, no matter how it happened, it's fine.
Yeah, and
like, that's all you're aiming for.
And again, like in yesterday, like Marquez, you know, gave up five early and then stuck around into the seventh. You know, it's like, you know, it, and the team came back, you know, and they got back in the game and they had a chance to win it. You know, it's weird because Marquez has had kind of a weird season where he's really given up a lot of hits, but a lot of like singles. I know last night he gave up the triple to Benintendi, home run to JD Martinez, et cetera, et cetera. But it's been a very weird year for Marquez. Like in that game on Friday against the Padres, we attended where the Rockies got tacos and they won big. Marquez gave up 10 hits in like 5 2/3 and they were all singles, which is the second time he's done that this year. Did that to the Phillies, I believe, too. 10 hits, all singles. Like, you know, at some point, like controlling the batted ball is a strong suit for a pitcher. And that's kind of what Marquez is doing this year for the most part. Like you give up a home run to JD Martinez in that ballpark because it's an absolute gimmick joke of a ballpark, Fenway Park. And you don't feel too bad about it. Like, talking about gimmick ballparks, Fenway Park is the most gimmicky ballpark of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, that place sucks.
It really does. It's a bad place to watch a baseball game. Like, I've been there many times.
I'm a big fan of baseball history, and obviously Fenway Park is a glorious place for what it was, you know, when it was built and the fact that it has lasted this long and they didn't tear it down. And I love all of those things about Fenway and Wrigley Field, and really those are the only things to love about either of those places.
Yeah, the history is great.
And it's not like a shot at them. It's 105-year-old facility, whatever it is now, like
that was people, built
the average American
built into the block, the neighborhood block that was there.
The average American when Fenway Park opened was like 5'6" and 130 pounds.
Yeah,
you know, like nowadays it is a miserable place.
Well,
to
and in Boston they were all Irish and Italian. You know,
hey, I'm Irish and Italian.
So
what
does
that mean? but it sucks. And you know, Chris Iannetta hits that ball off of the very top of the monster. In the, what was that, the 10th, I think, that they said on the Red Sox broadcast, would have been a home run basically in any other ballpark. But Nolan hits a home run into the first row of the monster seats that would not have been a home run, according to StatCast, in any other ballpark.
Right. And so also Rafael Devers had one that was the same way in that game, too. So,
yeah. And, you know, and then you get things like Nesson tweeting out, is it an unfair advantage for the Rockies to play their games at elevation?
Nesson should worry more about their sideline reporters sleeping with players, in my opinion.
Oh, boy. Ooh, shots fired. That is it's a pretty regular Nesson thing, though.
That is a pretty regular Nesson thing.
The series ends in a split. That's what you're going for on the road anyway. And the Rockies get that. Now they get to go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is going to be an interesting matchup. The Rockies, of course, able to win the series against the Phillies at home in the first meeting between these two teams. They have the walk-off from Chuck. They did give up 5 hits in a game to Bryce Harper, but it ended up not mattering.
the Phillies lost, which was Tyler Mott's favorite game of the year.
Amazing. It was so great. I was there. The Rockies won 6-2 in the Thursday night game, 4-3 in the Friday night game. That was the walk-off. Lost 8-5 on Saturday, but then bounced back to win the series behind John Gray on Sunday. 4-1 was the final in that one. That's a big series win. If you can go on the road to Philly now and play well over the next three, then you get a chance to go to Pittsburgh with an opportunity for a winning road trip. And the Phillies have played good ball as of late, but they haven't really gotten production from some of the guys you would expect, most notably Bryce Harper.
We'll
talk about him and try to not make it an episode that's just about Bryce Harper like we did last time, but he's been terrible lately.
Yeah, you just have to hope that he doesn't like wake up in the series, because you know at some point he's going to, and you just have to hope that it's not going to be this exact series. So basically, since Bryce Harper left Denver, April 21st, he's hitting .149 with only 2 home runs, a .605 OPS, and 31 strikeouts, which is the most in MLB in that time.
Not great.
It's not what you want.
Not great, yet, Bob.
I feel like all we do is talk about the Phillies and how they're underperforming and blah, 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 whatever. They're in first place with a 2.5 game lead in a very competitive NL East. You know, they're 15-9 at home this year. You know, they have a solid run differential, plus +34. Like, they are just a very solid team, and the division they play in is tough. I mean, the Nationals have underperformed, but you know, and Miami is what they are. But
what are they now? Like 10-30?
10-31 now. They've been shut out in back-to-back games. It was funny yesterday, coming into their game with Tampa, which they lost 1-0. Charlie Blackmon had more extra base hits in the month of May than the entire Miami Marlins.
Yeah, Jeets.
They have a minus -96 run differential. Lost 7 straight. They've scored, I think it's 2 runs or fewer in their last 7 games.
That doesn't seem good. Well, doesn't and also, seem like it's what you want.
So it means, you know, they started 2-2 against the Rockies. So they are 8-29 since that first series of the season.
Holy God. I shudder to think if they have won or split any other series. I'm not sure I want to know that.
I don't think you do.
let's not focus on that. But the Bryce Harper thing is interesting. He is hitting the ball harder than basically any other time in his career. His hard hit rate is better right now than it was in his 2015 MVP season. Other than that, like, everything about Bryce Harper has been bad. His contact rate is way down. His strikeup rate is up. And he is just not the guy that I think Phillies fans were hoping he would be right out of the gate. The thing that is sort of fascinating about this is a lot of other people have predicted this fall for Bryce Harper.
The Marlins have won a series this year. They won a series with the Nationals April 19th to 21st. They took 2-3. Okay.
Thank God.
Sorry. I couldn't live with myself if I didn't find that out right away.
Bryce Harper's MVP season of 2015, he batted .330, .460, .649 with an .1109 OPS, which I think was 89 points higher than anybody else in baseball. He hit 42 homers that year. He drove in 99 runs. 2016, He OPS batted 243, 373, 441. That was an 814 OPS, a nearly 300-point drop in OPS. Rebounded in 2017, 319, 413, 595, a 1008 OPS. But then last year, 249, 393, 496, 889 was the OPS. Bryce Harper, you know, numbers-wise, power-wise, last year he driven 100 runs for the first time in his career. It was exactly 100. He also walked a career-best 130 times. This year, he has struck out quite a bit. He struck out 57, which I think leads the National League.
Sure does.
He's also walked 33 times, which I think also leads the National League.
It sure does.
But he has been weird this year, and his numbers have not been good. And this is what a lot of people kind of predicted for Bryce Harper.
Well, yeah.
And it's not to say that Bryce Harper is a bad player or he's going to become a bad player, but like Bryce Harper got generational money, and I'm not sure he's a generational player.
Well, and that was always the thing. He's like the Schrodinger's cat of baseball players. If you want to make some numbers to see like he's one of the top players of his generation, you can. If you want to say that he's a bum who doesn't do what he should be to generate that kind of money, you can also find those numbers. Like it's an easy he's very polarizing. If you like Bryce Harper, you're going to say that he's doing great. If you hate him, you're going to say he's doing poorly, and each side's going to have numbers to back it up.
Yeah. The numbers this year,
been his worst year, basically.
Yeah, they're very much leaning more toward the poorly side of his playing role. But 42 games so far, he's a .220 hitter with an .801 OPS. That would be his worst OPS in a season since 2014, which he only played in 100 games.
Yeah, and the strikeouts are the things that's odd. I mean, he walks a lot. We know that, but like you don't think the strikeouts are going to be a big deal for him because they never really have been.
Yeah,
his career high in strikeouts is last year 169. It's not like he's
Mark
Reynolds or Chris
Davis.
Which is
way more than any other season in his career. That's 38 more than his previous career high, and that was his MVP season in 2015.
Right. So it's not like he's always been a huge strikeout guy. I mean, he's been really a 1-to-1 strikeout to walk guy for a lot of his career, at least the last few years. So. It's very strange to see the swing and miss component of his game being so high right now. And that's the thing.
He's on pace for 200 strikeouts.
Yeah, like you're going to figure it out eventually. You have to imagine with a guy like that. But it's almost like he's trying to sell out to hit home runs all the time because that's what his contract says he should do. And it's really causing a lot of problems with the rest of his game because, yeah, he was a home run hitter, of course, but he was 40 home run guy, and that was his MVP season. He hit 34 last year, which was the second most he's ever hit. Like, if he's just trying to pull the ball, that's not really his game a lot of the time. Like, he's gone the opposite field. He's got a career high pull rate this year. That's kind of not what he's supposed to be doing. Yeah, the home runs will come because you play in a litter box of a ballpark. And yeah, I said litter box. That's because it's trash. It's absolute trash.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's going to come at some point that he'll get hot for a couple of weeks and hit like 10 home runs probably. But he does look very lost. He's not really good at any pitch right now or any quadrant of the zone is something he can catch up to right now.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's, you know. You paid $330 million and gave him 13 years with a no trade clause and no opt outs. Enjoy that.
Yeah, fun. Yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch. So this weekend will be an interesting one for the Rockies in that if you get Brendan Rodgers up, you get a little jolt, you're able to win a series perhaps in Philadelphia. Then you go on the road to take on the Pittsburgh Pirates, a team that's been decent.
Odd.
21-19.
Their pitching staff's been all right. Josh Bell is having a fantastic season.
Yeah. The pitching matchup tomorrow, by the way, is John Gray, who has had his ups and downs. He'll go against Cole Irvin. Who has actually been really good so far in his season for the Phillies.
I can't believe John Gray let Wade Davis pitch the ninth inning in his game on Saturday and lose that game.
And then got headline.
I was overtaken by the body of Mark Kisla for a second.
Gray, what was the headline on it was on Rockies.com of all places. It wasn't the post site, but it was like Gray cruises early, but long ball hurts late. And it's like, call me crazy. Didn't the Rockies go into the ninth inning tied in that game and John Gray had been out for two innings?
Yep.
Seems a little strange. But remember, you have to blame everything on John Gray all the time. So John will get the ball tomorrow. Presumably, Brendan Rodgers will be your starting shortstop for that game for the Rockies. And there's some fun stuff coming up for this team.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it'll be Gray, Sensatella, and Freeland, I believe, in this series. You'll get Nola on Saturday. So we'll see what happens there. He already pitched against Rockies this year. He's very good. Though he has not been
great this year.
Not been as great this year.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be a fun little stretch.
That's the thing. Like, they're, you know, they had that 3-12 stretch, blah, 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 but they're right about 500 now. And,
yeah,
you know, it's May 16th. You don't have to be 10 games over 500 right now. You have plenty of time.
Like, they started this season 3-12, which means they've gone 17-10 since then.
Yeah.
You know, like, they've played good ball. They're a 500 team on the road right now at 11-11. They've kind of cooled off as of late after really turning things around pretty well for a while there, but it's a team that is trending more than in the right direction. If you hadn't hung yourselves 9 games back of 500 on in the season, and then you're, you know, a second place team at the moment.
That's but neither here nor there. Yeah.
It's 42 games into the year. They're the quarter pole.
Yeah, like you're fine playing 500 ball in the middle of May.
Exactly.
Like, that's pretty much what it comes down to.
It's a somewhat abbreviated edition of the PDP this week, and our apologies for that, but I have to take my mom to the airport today, and then I am leaving for the airport in the morning.
Yeah, where are you jet setting off to now?
I'm going to New York. It's my niece's 5th birthday party.
Nice.
And I'm going to surprise her and my sister and brother-in-law and my nephew.
Hope she doesn't listen to the pod.
Yeah, they don't listen to the podcast, so it should be no trouble.
Good.
And, I'm excited. I am excited, man.
Nice.
But, how was the rest of your trip?
It was very good. Went to every game, the Padres series. That was a good time. Had some good food, got some birthday shopping done. Folks were there, paid for everything. So, can't argue there.
That's fantastic.
Monday coming back was not as fun. Having to wake up at 4 a.m. to get on a flight. And I don't know what was going on there, but DIA at 4:30 on that Monday morning was the busiest I have ever seen DIA.
Every once in a while that happens where you'll show up and you'll be like, oh, I could probably get there 45 minutes early and I'll make it in. You show up, there's 9 million people at DIA, and it's like, where are you all going to? Why did you all book the first flight in the morning?
Literally 4:30 in the morning, and the waits and security were already over a half hour.
It was ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I was there at Christmas, and it was not that bad at all.
I don't get it.
Like, thank God I have TSA pre. We got through in like 10 minutes, but.
And DIA is a nightmare right now with all the construction there.
TSA pre is the, if you live in Denver, TSA pre will save your life.
It is very worth it. That is true.
Yes.
I will say that. and apparently clear is even better because you don't have to wait in the TSA pre line, but God help me if I'm going to pay, I'd rather pay the government to have my information than pay a corporation.
Exactly. It's like $80 for TSA pre for 5 years or whatever.
The government
already
has my information. I don't need to be giving it to some private entity.
Yeah.
Gross. Three games in Philly, 3 games in Pittsburgh.
Let's party.
We'll be back to talk about it all next week. That'll do it. My bladder's going to explode, so I'm going to.
I got to go take old Zoe for a walk here.
I got to do the same with this pup.
Oh, she heard the W word.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Love you.
Bye.